we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Know Whom I Have Believed, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through 1 and 2 Timothy. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
So as we get into this study, I read a story of a young woman. Well, I don't know how young she was. She had 7 children, and she had a very loving husband. So she had gone off to shop at the local market one day. She lived in Thailand, and she was she needed to go across the border or close to the border to be able to go shopping, and it was far enough away from her that she had to get on a bus to get there. Well, she got on the bus and she did her shopping, but she, for some reason, got on the wrong bus. The bus took her, instead of where she wanted to be, the bus took her 600 miles north of her town, and it took her to Bangkok. And so she wasn't able to speak. In Thailand, there are all different dialects of languages, all different kinds of languages. They're all just different dialects. You know, like us, we can understand the south, we can understand the northeast, and we can understand those. In Thailand, they are completely different dialects. And so with these dialects, she had one that was, it's spelled Y-A-W-I. And so she only spoke that. Well, no one in Bangkok spoke that, and there were no signs in that. And so she couldn't ask any questions. She got on another bus that took her to Chiang Mai, which is another 300 miles to the north of where she needed to be. Not being able to speak the language and not having anybody to understand her, she spent 5 years on the street. And then she was taken into a homeless shelter. And at the homeless shelter, there were three health students who were on exchange program to research the problem of homelessness in that particular area that she was in. They happened to have come from her territory. And so as she would sing every day, they called her, the people there called her Auntie Mon, because her language was of ethnic Mon living along the border of Burma. And so she sang for the visitors, and the visitors understood her. And so she was able to tell them her whole story. So from the day that she left for that shopping trip, 25 years later, she was returned to her home because no one could understand her language. No one spoke her language, and she did not speak theirs. And so many of us have gotten on the wrong bus in a number of areas, haven't we, from time to time. But what is happening in this, in 2 Timothy, as we open up 2 Timothy, what was happening here is that Paul spoke the language that only Timothy could understand. And Timothy could only understand the language that only Paul had. Does that make sense at all? That they were able to communicate in a way. Paul needed to be in a place where he was going to, he was on his deathbed, so to speak. He was about to be beheaded. He wouldn't be crucified because he was a Roman, and so he was beheaded. He was in a dungeon at this place. In 1 Timothy, he was on house arrest. In 2 Timothy, he is in a dungeon where no one can get to him. He is chained up in this dungeon. He is there. He knows this is his last opportunity to send out a letter. This will probably be the last letter that he sends out. And so he sends out that letter to Timothy. And remember that he is living in a day of Nero. And if you don't know all the story on Nero, please look him up. Most of us know his story and all of the things that he did and his craziness. But look it up if you don't know about Nero. But he lived in a time of Nero, and he was about to go before that kind of a judgment place because of the gospel's sake. And so Paul wants those who are closest to him to be, those he loves the most, he wanted them to be closest to him at this particular time. And so he writes this letter to Timothy. And he wants to establish that same confidence of calling that Paul had a confidence in his calling. He wanted to establish that same confidence of calling in Timothy. And so as we start with 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Remember before in 1 Timothy, it was by the commandment of God. Here we have it. It is by the will of God that was according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what his calling was. It was by the will of God, and it was according to the promise of Christ Jesus. And it's written to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Mercy, not getting what we do deserve. And peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding that will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul goes right away into a thankful attitude. I love the fact that we are all decorating for Christmas. I never took down my Christmas lights from last year, so I'm already decorated with my lights. But I see a number of people getting their trees up and, you know, getting all their decorations up for Christmas. And, you know, long before COVID, we had Christmas decorations out before Halloween, right? But now we are actually decorating for Christmas here in November and right after Halloween or during Halloween. And I see a trend happening that we have skipped over Thanksgiving. There were 10 lepers that were healed. Only one came back and said thank you. And I don't want to be called a person that is unthankful. I want to remember to be thankful for the things that God has done in me, done through me, done for me. I want to remember to have a thankful heart. And so Paul says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. There is nothing that I'm hiding. Paul says, there's nothing that I'm hiding. I'm not afraid that anything's going to come out about me. You can investigate me all you want, and you will not find any secrets because I have no secrets. My conscience is clear. It's pure. It's clean. I have a pure conscience, as my fathers did, and without ceasing. And how did he have a clear conscience? By 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Okay, so he has that clear conscience. Everything is taken care of. It's confessed and it's out there, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. In my prayers night and day. In my prayers, in my prayers, in my prayers, in my prayers. Ladies, I cannot stress to you enough the importance of prayer in our lives right now. Someone shared with me a vision. It was during the time that we've just been through. And it was a vision of people with their hands up against the wall. And as their hands were up against the wall, the Lord said to them, do not grow weary, be strong and courageous, man the fort, which we had in Nahum 2:1, man the fort, stand your ground, don't give up, hands on the wall. And in this vision, one of the people that had their hands on the wall lowered their hands and started to walk away. And as they did, the wall started to give. And so they came back, put their hands back up on the wall. God is calling us to be prayer warriors. He is calling us to keep our hands on the wall. He is calling us to keep praying. He is calling us to keep seeking Him. He is calling us to come together and do this together. Can we pray alone? Absolutely. We are praying together when we're praying alone because we've got other people praying at the same time. But the importance of prayer. And so Paul recognized that importance of prayer night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. I'm mindful of your tears. I'm mindful of your tears. I'm mindful of that day when I left or when you left me. I'm mindful that you were crying. You would miss me. I know that you love me. I know that I love you. I have a love for you. And I am mindful of your prayers. Ladies, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. Don't let anybody tell you, no tears. Come on. Suck it up. It's okay. It's okay to cry. And he said, I am mindful of your tears. I am mindful of your tears because of your timidity. I'm mindful of those things in your life that bring you to tears. I'm mindful of that. And those things I pray for, but my joy would be filled if I could see you. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith, nothing phony about this faith. It's genuine. It's true. It's without wax. It is genuine. It is sincere faith that is in you, which dwelt, and circle that word dwelt in your Bible, dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. That genuine faith lived in them. It presided in them. It took up residence in them. It was a part of them. That genuine faith dwelt in them. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I do not need to know what that gift is, but I'll tell you one of the gifts that he received was the gospel. And he received a gift. We don't know what that gift is. You have received a gift as well, and God is telling you right now, stir up that gift that's in you. Stir it up. Don't let it lay dormant. Stir up that gift that is in you. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is coming from a man who is about to be killed. And he's saying, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does that mean to have a sound mind? It means to have a disciplined mind, to bring our thoughts captive, to have that sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Many of them had been ashamed of him. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Whoa. You're asking me to suffer with you. There will be suffering. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. There will be suffering. There will be pain. But God doesn't love me because I'm going through this. He must not love me. He's not there. He's not with me because I'm going through all of this pain. His sufferings. Am I willing to partake in his sufferings? In his sufferings, partaking in Christ's sufferings, was, am I willing to stand no matter what? Am I willing to stand no matter what? Am I willing to stand for what I know to be truth? The sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, verse 9, who has saved us and he's called us with a holy calling. He has saved us, Paul and Timothy. He has called us, Paul and Timothy, with a holy calling, not according to your works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God was pouring out his grace on you before time began. God knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. God was pouring out his grace on you before that time. You have grace upon grace upon grace. What is that grace again? God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, brought life and immortality to light throughout the gospel, to which I was appointed, verse 11, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. I have been appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, Paul would write. Preaching is to herald, is a herald whose function is to publicly proclaim a message. A preacher is someone who stands in front of a lot of people and gives a message. So a preacher, when people are standing up here, they're being a preacher, but there are people who are priest people who are preacher slash teachers, preachers and teachers. That can be one person, and that's what needs to be in the pulpit, in my opinion. So an apostle, he has made me a preacher and an apostle. An apostle is one who has been divinely sent, divinely equipped, and divinely empowered. And so God has done that. He called him to be a preacher, an apostle, and he called him to be a teacher. A teacher is one who explains the truth in an understandable manner so that others may respond by faith and obedience. A true teacher explains things in an understandable manner. I don't know, I find it a little amusing. I have a lady who told me, thank you so much for when you mess up. And I'm thankful that I can minister to her. But she said, thank you for not always getting it right, for not always getting the words out right, because I know if God can use you, and I don't take this in a bad way, but if God can use you, he can use me. And that's the purpose of a teacher, to be able to express to you that if God can use me, he can use you too. So I am thankful that I mess up a lot. I would like to not mess up a lot. I would like to really have it together and come before you and let you look at how wonderful I am. But it ain't ever going to happen because I ain't all that wonderful to begin with. And I am thankful that I'm not. So teaching is so needed in the church today. Teaching, giving things in a clear and understandable manner, teaching that goes through the Word of God, not talking about just the things that we're interested in. If we teach through the Word from Genesis to Revelation, that's my personal opinion. That's my personal opinion. I think we should be teaching Genesis through Revelation. That's what I feel, because that teaches us the things that we don't look for. We get well-rounded teaching of the kingdom of God. What about the nature of the Father? What about the dying to ourselves? What about the cross? What about sanctification? What about suffering to do good? What do I do with my money? We would learn as we go through the Bible and not have our pet things that we hang on to. And so as he goes on, to which I was appointed, a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. He is able to keep me until the day of Christ. He is able to keep me. If I will commit myself to him, he is able to keep me. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. God, I want you to do in me, I want you to make me what you want me to be. He is able. He is able. It says right here. He's able to do that. He's able to change us. Verse 13, so hold fast the pattern of sound words. Hold fast to the truth, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you. What is it? What is the good thing? The gospel. That good thing that was committed to you. That gifting that was committed to you. Keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. The Holy Spirit that dwells in us. This you know. This you know. That all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Phygellus and Hermogenes. I can pronounce their names, I'm excited. So, but they had turned away from him. They had turned away from him. No, I can see that you're going to prison. I can see that you're going to die. I ain't walking with you. Mm-mm. And they left him. Verse 16, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he looked for me. He sought me out very zealously and he found me. He didn't stop until he found me. May the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day of the Lord, the day of judgment. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. You were there, Timothy. You know how many ways that he ministered to me. There are all kinds of stories that we could go into that, but because we're covering two chapters tonight, we won't go into that one. Suffice it to say that we can all say Onesiphorus. Can you? I love that I can say that name without tripping over it. Can't say my own name without tripping over it, but I can say Onesiphorus. So, in chapter 2. Now, in chapter 2, we're going to find that Timothy is described in seven different ways. He's described as a son, as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer, as a worker, as a vessel, and as a servant. And we'll get all of those as we get through the verses here. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. In other words, take this seriously. Take it seriously. Take the word of God seriously. Commit these to faithful people who will be able to teach others. We can't do it alone. We have to share with others, and we have to allow others to share with other people as well. You therefore must endure. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's talking about a soldier of Jesus Christ who is on active duty. A soldier who is on active duty. A soldier who is on active duty keeps himself ready for the orders from headquarters. A service person, a veteran, again, speaking of the veterans, when they were on active duty, they kept themselves ready for orders from headquarters. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. He wants to do what his leader has told him to do. Not getting involved in the cares of this life. I shared with the ladies this morning that on this particular one, don't get engaged in warfare. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. And this morning, I was late coming to the study. This morning, I was just like, I couldn't get myself together. Why could I not get myself together? Because at some point, I began to look at Instagram. And as I was looking at Instagram, I got entangled in it. And it made me late. It not only made me late, it made me mad. I cannot get back that time. That time has been wasted. That time has been spent. I can never get that time back again. It's over. It's done with. I can't get it back. I entangled myself with the things of the world. And yes, we need to look at those things. Yes, we need to know what's going on. Do we? Yes, I suppose so. But we don't want to get entangled with them. Don't let them have me. I need to know what's going on. Great. I know that's going on. I have that knowledge. Okay, fine. Let it go. Let the Lord take care of it. And so, moving on. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We must compete according to the rules. You remember the story of the Olympics when the Olympic runner tore something in his leg. And he was so close to the end zone, or not the end zone, he was close to the finish line. And at the finish line, he was determined to make it to the finish line. But he was disqualified when his father came up and touched him. They together made it to the finish line, but he was disqualified from the race because the rules are that you have to do it alone. You have to follow the rule. Well, that doesn't make sense. That's not fair. That's not fair. That's the rules. And we have to live by the rules. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of crops. The hardworking farmer. The hardworking farmer. Hardworking farmer. I would like to sit around and watch TV. I don't want to be a hardworking farmer. I don't want to work hard. Sometimes I do, but it's not my, I don't live for it. A hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. I have to feed myself first if I'm going to feed anybody else. I must feed myself in the Word of God if I'm going to share that with anybody else. I must feed myself first. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Verse 7. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Again, we have the gospel. Was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not chained. The word of God is not chained. It is free. And China can rewrite the Bible if they want to, but the word of God will never be chained. That's why I encourage you to get that scripture writing page and write scripture and memorize scripture and get the word of God in your heart and keep it there so that when you need it, it's there. Well, I can't remember. I can't remember. What is that verse? I mean, I can't remember it right now. When you have need of that verse will gonna pop right into your mind. You've got to have the word of God in your heart, because the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of everybody else, for the sake of the elect. Well, am I an elect? Well, are you saved? Yes, you're an elect if you're saved. Well, but what if I'm not saved? How do I know if I'm the elect? Well, accept the Lord, and then you'll be the elect, and you'll know that you are. You see, it's just a matter of getting Christ into your heart. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. So much of the Word of God has this little word, if. And here we have it four times, if. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. That's true faith, dying to ourselves that we might live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Endurance, we must have that endurance. If we deny him, I'm going to add a word, continually. If we deny him continually, he also will deny us. If I deny continually, then he will deny me. Peter denied three times, and yet Christ still used him. God still used him. Well, so, but that says if we deny him, if we deny him continually, then we're not saved. If we deny him continually, he also will deny us because he'll say, I never knew you. I didn't even have any, I didn't know you at all. If we are faithless at times, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So when I am faithless, have you ever been in one of those places where you just feel like, oh man, my faith is really being challenged and I don't know that it's there. I just don't know. God remains faithful and he carries us through those times. But it's when we are faithless at times and in different situations. Number 14, or verse 14, remind them of these things, the ones that you are teaching at your church. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present. Don't be having these arguments. We've been having a few arguments. We had a little complaining session before we came out here. Don't get entangled in those things. Don't get entangled in those things. I have to remind myself, don't get entangled in those things. There's no room in my life to get entangled in those things. But be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You must know the word of truth to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. So Hymenaeus and Philetus take their place in God's hall of shame, not rightly dividing the word of God, but just wasting their time on different things. They are saying that they've strayed concerning the truth. They don't know the truth. They don't hang on to the truth. They don't treasure the truth. Saying that the resurrection is already past. You know that there are people today who are telling us that Jesus Christ has come back, but he's hiding. What does the Word of God have to say? Because you know the truth. What does the Word of God have to say? Every eye will see him. He won't be in hiding. Every eye will see him. And we know that because we know the Word of God. You see. They say that the resurrection was past and they overthrow the faith of some. They overthrow the faith of some. I'm going to tell you that every person that you have ever seen standing up here teaching you is very concerned about that scripture. Because we know as teachers, we have a greater judgment on us. And I want to be careful that I don't teach something that is not of the Lord. And so I invest the time in the Word of God. I invest time in prayer. I invest time to find out what God has to say, because I don't want to be held responsible for someone else walking away from God because of something I said or something stupid that I did. So I know that my judgment is more. Nevertheless, verse 19, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows those who are his. And in verse 12, it says, I know whom I have believed. We know each other. God knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some of honor and some for dishonor. That is, some that are true and some that are pretenders, some that are likenesses of the real thing. It goes on to say, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, the vessel of dishonor, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And so in verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. Flee also youthful lust. Flee as Joseph did. See, there's a reason that I wore this. Flee as Joseph did from anything that doesn't bring glory to God. Flee the love of money, the love of fame, pleasure, self-will, impatience, and of course, physical lusts and pride. Put them aside, flee from them. But then it goes on to say what we are to pursue. We are to pursue righteousness, right standing with God, righteousness. My dealings with people should always be with honesty, justice, and fairness. Faith is sincere and dynamic confidence in God. Sincere and dynamic confidence in God. We are to pursue love. Love always considers others. It is essentially unselfish. It always considers others. It is essentially unselfish. And peace, harmony, and compatibility. A peace that surpasses all understanding, that will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. A peace that surpasses all understanding. But avoid, and for those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. We've been through this in 1 Timothy, knowing that they generate strife. And a bondservant, a servant of the Lord, that is a servant by choice, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Have you seen any of that lately? Have you seen anybody in humility correcting those who are in opposition? I haven't been seeing it. But the Word of God says that we are in humility to correct those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. God is not keeping anybody from repentance. If you just have remorse, God says, oh well, go on. But repentance is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it's all right there. Repentance comes out of a confession of sin, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Being deceived by the enemy, by the devil, simply repent. Instant confession, instant forgiveness. Now, we have some tough days ahead of us. I think we all know that. We've been saying it for 2 years in women's ministry. We've got some tough days ahead of us. And it's not by chance that we're going through the study of these books at this particular time. All of these attributes are going to be necessary and useful in the coming days. Necessary and useful in the coming days. keep your eyes on Jesus. I shared with you the dream that I had of Jesus holding my face. And he said, look at me. Look, just look at me. Holding my face so that I could just look at him. And all over here are things burning and people running around. All over here are burning things and all kinds of things going on. And Jesus says, just look at me. Just look at me. Just look at me. You don't need to see all of that stuff that's going on. You just look at me. And my prayer for you is that you would feel the hand of God on your face, telling you, look at me. Just look at me. Don't be taken by the things that are going on around you. Don't be fearful about the things that are going on around you. Just keep your eyes on me. Alex Trebek said at the end of his life that he had no regrets. And from the things that I've heard from the people say about him, I say he probably that probably was true about him. At the end of my life, I don't want to have regrets. I don't want to, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I don't want to have that at the end of my life. I want to live in the moment and not give opportunity to say that. I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I want to live in the light. I want to live in the light of Jesus Christ. I want to live in the light of this world today. I want to live in the light of truth. And so, Father, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, God, for your presence with us tonight and that you have given us, Lord, all that we need to accomplish whatever you've called us to do. Lord, that you have gone before us and behind us and you are on either side of us. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that you are able to keep that which I have committed unto you. And Father, you know those who are yours. And I thank you, Lord. I praise you. I give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys and enjoy your small groups. And don't forget to come back next week.
Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.